606, welcome back. Welcome to hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. It is the big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his crew in business for 14 years in Iowa City. Hawkeye Title and Settlement on Highway 1 West. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in for Alex Kuhn tonight, who's making his way to Steve's neck of the woods. Iowa City West girls action coming your way with Alex on the call on 106.3 FM tonight. Plenty more going on. You can get the full rundown by visiting our website at kgymradio.com. Rob and I are going to hit on Iowa's overtime win over Illinois at the State Farm Center coming up in just a few minutes. But before we can do that, let's talk a little football with our guest of honor tonight. It's James Daniels, the now former Hawkeye. Got to get used to saying that, but he's made his decision to leave Iowa for the NFL. I think it was the right decision. But James, how much thought did you have to put into this one before you made the call?
I did a lot of thinking. I talked to the coaches. I talked to my family. I also talked to, like, I have a couple, like, cousins and stuff that played in the NFL. I just talked to them and just asked them, like, which decision would be best for me. And after all the talking, it came up that it would be best to leave.
What type of I know you guys have – you know, a lot of really good resources, not only you personally, but within the, you know, within the program with Iowa staff and the experience they have with the NFL and connections. What type of feedback did you get from the NFL that led you to believe that this would be a good move for you?
So from the NFL advisory committee, I got a second round grade, and to think about like if, and the point of the, like, if that advisory committee is for them to push players to go back to school, because the only grades you can get are a first round grade, a second round grade, and a stay in school grade. And the point of the committee is to try to get players to go back to school. And I mean, with the second round grade from that committee, and those are like those, and the people who are on the committee are people who know talent, whose job is to scout college football players. And with that and how close I am to getting my degree, that was just enough info to be able to leave.
James Daniels chatting with us. So a lot of people, everybody knows about the NFL draft combine for the most part, but I think there's a lot of ambiguity out there about what this advisory process is like. How hands-on is it for the player, or you just simply submit your name and then they watch film and you just sit back and wait to hear from them? What's it like?
There's like this application online. You fill out your name, your height, weight, position, all that stuff. Then it has you, five or six, like, of your best games. Then you put transcript in too. Then you just submit it. Then a couple weeks later, you get your response back. That's pretty much it. It's a pretty simple process.
When did you first start thinking about it, James? Was it before this season? Was it during the season? When did you start to think, well, maybe it's my time?
Honestly, don't even remember when I started thinking about it. Like, during the season, I mean, before the season, like, I had a couple media interviews and, like, some people have asked about it, but during the season, I really wasn't thinking about it at all. Then after the Nebraska game, Coach Ferentz pulled me in, and he told me that, like, we're gonna fill out the advisory committee application. I wasn't really thinking about it during bowl prep because I was just focused on, I really wanted to win the bowl game. And then after the bowl game, that's when I really started, like, focusing in on it.
How much did the injury history play into that decision as well? I mean, you've had a unfortunate time staying healthy during your time as a Hawkeye. I think most people realize that was a big part of your career as a Hawkeye, and it had to have been maybe in the back of your mind because you don't get to play football for 50 or 60 years. It's usually a short window.
All right. I mean, the injuries, they really didn't play a factor at all because, I mean, I can literally get hurt doing anything. I could, like, walk outside, slip, and, like, break my leg. Injuries really didn't play a factor in coming back or leaving. The one thing I was more scared of if I came back and if I played bad. instead of being coming back and getting hurt.
You talked about being close to graduating. You're a biology major, I think.
Health and human physiology.
Okay. It says biology in your Hawkeye sports bio, so they need to update that thing. how close are you, and is the plan this semester to finish? Are you going to focus on the draft and then come back and finish your degree? Where are you kind of at in that regard?
So I'm 20 hours away from graduating, and this semester I'm staying in Iowa City to train. But I mean, I'm taking pretty much all online classes, so I could train somewhere else. But after the semester, I'm taking 14 hours this semester, so I'll have 6 hours left to finish, and I'll probably do that next spring. So that's pretty. The reason why I'm taking the classes is because it's much easier to get 6 hours. 6 hours next spring than it is to get 20 hours over the course of how many years. So
how did your teammates take the news? I imagine maybe Nate Stanley tried to put the full court press on you to convince you to stick around to protect him for another year, but this is always a delicate process because you're part of a team, but you're also an individual who's looking out for your own best interest. But what was that process like in letting your teammates know that you were going to be leaving early?
I talked to a lot of my teammates. I just asked them. Well, first, I mean, I asked like some of them for their advice. Like, if you're in my position, what would you do? And I mean, my teammates, I mean, they know that it's nice to be able to help the team, but you also have to do with what's best for yourself. And I don't know, my teammates, they said congrats. Of course, they were sad that I was leaving and stuff, but they just said congrats, and they're excited for me.
Coach Ferentz talked, we talked with him on Wednesday. He kind of put a bow on 2017 and looked ahead to 2018. He really thinks the offense is going to take a step forward next year. You guys had some really outstanding games this year, and then other games where things just never seem to gain any traction. When you look back at it, when you guys did things well, what were the main reasons? And in games when you struggled, what was holding you back?
It was just consistency and lack of detail. And there's so many games during the season where, as the offense, we were just missing on little details. And those little details, say if it's second and eight, second and seven, you miss a little detail, then it's third and eight, third and seven. And I mean, just if you add those up over the course of a game, you can't play good at all. So whenever we were consistent and we focused and execute with those little details, that was the difference between a game like Ohio State or a game like Northwestern.
I'm glad Rob brought up Kirk Ferentz's comments earlier this week. I'm going to assume that you heard what he said about you, but if not, he said that you are the best center prospect that he has coached, and that includes his time in the NFL. What did hearing that mean to you, to have him heap such high praise on you?
It's really cool because I know that Coach Ferentz, I know he's been around like a wild offensive lineman, and for him to say something like that about me is really good. But it also shows how good. I didn't come in the best. It also shows how good our coaches are and how Coach Ferentz, Brian, and him and Coach Paulsik, how good they were at developing me into becoming the player that I am today. So that's really nice. That's really cool for Coach Ferentz to say that about me.
Your exit, James, obviously leaves a huge hole, literally and figuratively, in the middle of that offensive line. You've seen some of the guys. I know Keegan started the Wyoming game when you were injured, and Coach Ferentz said the other day that he's probably the guy most prepared now. What do you see the future being at that position? Cole Banwart's been a name mentioned. I think Spencer Williams has worked at that position. What do you see as the futures? Tell the fans a little bit about some of those guys that were behind you.
Keegan, he's probably had the most he's had the most live reps at center. I mean, I don't know, Keegan's really prepared. And sometimes during the season, like I would practice, but I wouldn't practice like the entire practice, and Keegan would take all the reps for me at center with the first team. And so Keegan's really prepared. And Cole and Spencer, they were rotating at center with the twos pretty much the entire season. And mentally, I feel like both of them know already, like they were ready to go in at any point during the season last year. So, I mean, if it's Cole, Spencer, or Keegan, I feel like they'll all do a good job at it.
What goes in? What makes a good center, James? What are some of the things that you need to do to excel at that position?
The first thing you have to do, you have to be able to get the you have to be able to get the snap right every play. Then after that, you just have to because the center in our offense, the center is the guy who calls the front IDs, and he calls the blocking combination that the guard and the center have. So he just has to know, he has to get the snap up and just know like the front IDs and the blocking combinations. And after that, you just have to go out there and just block people.
Nate Stanley said before the season, I was talking to him at media day, and he talked about needing to be more vocal, needing to be more of an outspoken leader. And the coaches mentioned that as well. It seemed like he got better and more comfortable in that role as the season went on. Did you see that? And how did that kind of show up as the season went along?
I thought Nate, he was always like a leader by example. Like whenever, I can think about like when he first came here, like I used to just always see him. Like he always made sure like he did things right. And during the season, I did see him improve. I mean, start just talking more. But personally for me, like he didn't have to, because I saw that like he was leading by example. Like he used to do everything right. And I felt like that was good enough. That was a good enough leader for me.
How much did it mean to you to be able to say that you won your final game as a Hawkeye and help the team exercise that story about having not won a bowl game since 2011?
It's really nice. Actually, I talked to my brother after the bowl game, and I mean, he lost 4 years straight, and so it was just, it was just so nice to be able to win the bowl game. Because like the past 3 years, like we've been focused on winning a bowl game, and we finally got a chance to do it, which is really nice.
What do you see as the potential for? We talked about the center position, but just overall on this offensive line, there have been some guys, you know, the Paulsons, Ross Reynolds kind of worked into the mix this year. Lucas LeGrand had some time at center the year before that. It seems like there's some guys that have been in the program now. You know, you look at Alaric and Tristan, they've got their feet wet this year, so to speak. What's the potential for this line next year?
A lot more depth and experience. So this year, at the beginning of, or I guess last, I mean this year, so the 2017 season, when Boone and Ike went down, and it was just, I mean, it was just terrible for us, because after like, I mean, I used to, during the season, I would read stuff online saying like how our offensive line didn't have any depth or any of that. But when Boone and Ike went down, our starting lineup became our depth. And even for the bowl game, Levi, he was our, I mean, was he our eighth lineman or seventh lineman? Yeah, he was our eighth lineman. And it just, I mean, it's hard. It doesn't matter who your backups are. It's just hard to be able to, when you can't play together and when you lose people with that much experience, it's just hard for the offensive line. But this upcoming season, pretty much every player has, if they haven't started, they played a lot of football. Like Ross, I think he started like one game, but I mean, he probably played close to like 50% of the snaps the entire season. Levi, he's played guard and tackle. Keegan, he's played center and both guards. AJ and Tristan, they play both tackles. And so, I mean, I'm very excited to be able to watch the offensive line, what they're going to do this year.
So before we let you go, what's in store for you over the next couple months? Obviously, you're still focusing on school and I imagine you're probably looking at agents if you don't have one hired already, and then getting ready to go work out for everybody. But what's the timeline look like for you before the draft?
Just finish school, train. That's pretty much it. I still have to hire my agent. I mean, I'm probably going to get that done this week or probably next week. Actually, I'm going to get it done by next week. But, yeah, just finish school and train, and that's pretty much it.
Well, James, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. We had some fun with your brother a couple weeks ago when we were asking him about your NFL prospects and what would happen if you wound up with the Dallas Cowboys, and he, of course, is with Washington, and whether that would be even more of a family rivalry there. But I think he's pretty proud of you and looking forward to seeing where you're going to wind up. So we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight, and we'll be pulling for you.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
James Daniels, the now former Iowa center, headed for the NFL, joining us during the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. And as you mentioned, literally and figuratively, a big hole to fill on that offensive line. I could just imagine Nate Stanley just pleading, no, man, come back to school. Come back to school.
And I think Keegan Render, who will be a fifth-year senior next year, is certainly capable in that middle. But it just, you're moving him away. You're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul here and moving him from a guard spot to the center spot. So that gives you inexperience or relative inexperience at the other guard spot. And just that position is just so vital. Brian Ferentz played it a lot of Bruce Nelson. They've had a lot of really good centers at Iowa. It's such an integral part of that offense. It's a leader. It's not the quarterback, but maybe the second most important person on that offense.
I know he said the injuries didn't play a part in making the decision, but you and I have talked. Especially when you're that big of a guy, you've only got so long to play football. And I think he's making the right decision here. And it's interesting because you don't know a whole lot about the process, but you get three grades, first round, second round, and kid, you're wasting your time. And I think they're about as honest as they can be. If they say a second round grade, then obviously you don't know what the draft board is going to look like in the second round, but maybe you're looking at a third round, as the worst possible scenario, depending on teams and their needs. But it's going to put him in a good position to make a team and hopefully enjoy a lengthy NFL career. So just a neat kid, in dealing with him during his time. As you could tell there, if you've never been around him, but well-spoken, articulate kid, puts thoughts into his answers. And we don't often get that from football players, so I'm going to miss him.
I always learned something from him every week when he showed up on Tuesday and we asked about the opponent. He's just so cerebral, and that's also something that it takes to play and be a good center, is to understand the game and what the other team is doing and what you're trying to do. And he was so good at that. And I also found it interesting that after the Nebraska game, Coach Ferentz went to him and said, hey, we're going to put your application into the board. That really spoke a lot to Coach Ferentz looking out for his guys. And I think he said they put five or six highlight tapes on there. I'm pretty sure Ohio State this year and Michigan 2016 were on there. And if that advisory board looked at those two games, they had to have been impressed.
Yeah, and the Ohio State, with him being an Ohio native, and I know we talked about it the week leading up to that game, but he had definitely had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder there, a little extra carrot at the end of the stick to perform as well as he did against the Buckeyes. But we'll see where Iowa heads in that direction. You know, Keegan Render, like you said, perhaps the next guy to step in. And whoever it's going to be, they're going to have some big shoes to fill. And you always worry about that with a team breaking in a new center, because, as James said, the toughest part is you've got to be perfect every single time, because if there's any sort of miscommunication between you and the quarterback, that ball's on the ground or your timing gets thrown off, and it can definitely be a hindrance to an offense, especially one like Iowa, where this year we saw the Hawkeyes struggle to get some consistency going on that side of the ball. 626, Hopefully you enjoyed that as much as we did. We'll step aside and take a quick timeout. We come back. Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank big day, a big board update for you. A former UNI Panther has found his way to the Chicago Bears coaching staff. Always good to see guys with local ties land in the NFL. We'll tell you a little bit about that. And then some, and of course, more talk about Iowa's 104-97 win over Illinois last night in basketball as well. Back with more after this.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with an 11% rebate on everything. Mastercraft is the name to know for top quality entry and interior doors. Choose from our in-stock selection or design your door your way with our door designer. Get an 11% rebate on all Mastercraft doors. Stop waiting and start saving with an 11% rebate on everything now at Menards. Good through January 13th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Get out of the cold and warm up with some hot stove baseball. The Cedar Rapids Colonels will host the 22nd annual Hot Stove Banquet Wednesday, January 17th at the East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and a special visit from the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, featuring former Colonels and current Twins Mitch Garver and Zach Granite, along with radio broadcaster Chris Atterbury. Tickets are $45 and all proceeds benefit the Colonels Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonels Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
Welcome back in, 628, the Todd Brolecamp Show continuing for the next 30-plus minutes. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in for Alex Kuhn on the back half of tonight's show. Alex is going to have some high school basketball to call, and we got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update to bring to you. Midwest One, where you're the one. Here's Kyle.
It didn't always look like it was going to work out, but the Iowa men got their first conference victory last night in overtime on the road at Illinois, 104-97. They trailed by as many as 20 points in the first half, but came alive offensively and on the boards in the second. And that second half and overtime saw the Hawkeyes commit only 6 turnovers, and just as importantly, claim a 27-14 rebounding advantage. The Illini even hit a potentially devastating game-tying 3 at the buzzer, but the Hawkeyes went on to win in overtime. Luca Garza had 19-11, Tyler Cook had 21-13, and Jordan Bohannon scored a game-high 29. The win by Iowa is the first conference victory for Iowa's 3 state universities. It's one Cyclone in and one Cyclone out for the Utah Jazz. They're reportedly going to be signing forward George Niang to a 2-way deal, so he'll be spending time with the Salt Lake City Stars, but that also came with the waiving of Nazmichu Long. Niang is averaging 18.6 rebounds and nearly 5 assists per game, formerly with the Warriors G League affiliate. Tonight after the show, we're going to have a pair of high school games for you. On 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym will have the Prairie Boys hosting Waterloo East beginning at 7:30. And at the same time, we'll also have the girls from Cedar Rapids, Washington, traveling to Iowa City West on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have nonstop action for you tomorrow, including the Iowa State men hosting Baylor on 1600 at 1 o'clock, followed by the Falcons and Eagles, and then the Titans and Patriots in a pair of NFL divisional matchups.
Yeah, former UNI Panther Mike Furry has been added to the Chicago coaching staff with Matt Nagy. He's going to be coaching the wide receivers. He was a teammate in the Arena Football League with Matt Nagy, playing for the New York Dragons.
Nice. He was a heck of a receiver at UNI. I remember him.
He was. UNI's had a good run of those, even going back 10, 15 years. Good little scrappy receiver, if I remember correctly, who carved out a pretty nice career between the professional ranks, the non-NFL professional ranks, and a little bit of time in the NFL. So also, as some of our listeners will enjoy hearing, a teammate of He Hate Me with the Las Vegas Outlaws in the XFL, but a little bit of a UNI Panther flavor to Matt Nagy's new coaching staff in Chicago. Rough Riders, by the way, on the road tonight, taking on the Chicago Steel in the Chicago suburbs. That's Geneva, I think, if I remember correctly. The ice arena is right next door to where the Kane County Cougars play baseball. Speaking of baseball, and the Rough Riders, I should mention, will be home tomorrow night to take on Waterloo. 7:05 is when the puck is scheduled to drop. On the subject of baseball, though, Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet, less than 20 tickets remaining. You can buy your tickets now at colonels.com. Get you dinner, silent auction, listen to the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, Chris Atterbury, the radio broadcaster, along with current Twins and former Colonels Mitch Garver and Zach Granite. New Colonels manager Toby Gardenhire, hitting coach Brian Dinkelman. Should be a great night of baseball talk, and it's all yours for the princely sum of $45. Again, less than 20 tickets do remain. Right now, you can get them online, kernels.com. It's at the East Bank Venue and Lounge Wednesday night, just a couple days away. Kernels Hot Stove Banquet. Hope to see everybody there. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Look inside last night's 104-97 victory for the Hawkeyes in Champaign. What does it mean moving forward for the Iowa basketball team? 319-366-1600 back after this.
So, Sarah, you know, one of the toughest things about being on tour is sleeping in a bunk area with a bunch of guys that all snore. I love my beauty sleep. A night of snoring puts me in such a bad mood in the morning.
Your beauty sleep. I love it. You know, I've been listening to ESPN Radio enough to know that you should have told the guys to get a Zipa. It's estimated that 90 million people in the U.S. snore, which means there's tens of millions of people like you on the tour bus that didn't get to sleep at night because they sleep next to a snorer. So if you want to stop snoring, you need to get a Zipa. Go to ZYPPAH.com. That's Zipa.com.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at just $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
6:33, it's finally over. Iowa, the first of the three state schools to break into the win column in conference play. A 104-97 overtime victory over Illinois last night. A three-game road swing for the Hawkeyes. That was game two. Wednesday night, they're in action against Rutgers in Piscataway. And then next Saturday morning at 11 a.m., the Hawkeyes will be back at Carver-Hawkeye Arena to take on Purdue. It'll be Chris Street Day. Our pal Rick Brown, formerly of the Des Moines Register, will be on hand signing copies of his new book about Chris Street. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joining me here inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. And let's go ahead and get to it, because it's about as cliche as possible to say that it was a tale of two halves last night. But if you watched the first half, you probably found yourself reaching for the remote a couple times to see if there was anything else interesting on TV. And if you watch the second half, you were probably on the edge of your couch waiting to see if the Hawkeyes could pull it off.
Yeah, and if you want to look back at last night and say, okay, they were able to pull that out, but this is what they need to do better, it's the first half of games. Going back to the Michigan game, I can't remember which order it was in, but they allowed 48, 46, 48, and then 54 points in the first half last night. They get themselves so far behind, and then they have to play catch-up. And that's just really – you're putting yourself in a position that's really hard, especially on the road. It made last night impressive, but they still need to come out with being more – I guess – I don't want to say effort, because I don't think it's effort. Just being more active early in games, especially on the defensive end. Illinois was going to cool off shooting the ball. They shot it really well, kind of out of character last night. But they were getting wide open threes. I mean, it was
– they were 9 of 15 in the first half.
Yeah, and they were wide open. They were just completely wide open looks. And Iowa did a better job of guarding the paint, because in the previous two games, they had been outscored, I think, 98 to 48 in the paint against – Ohio State and Maryland. So they did a little bit better job of that, but But then they were just giving up wide open threes.
And interestingly enough, still outscored in the paint 42-38 by Illinois, but they did enough where they were able to slow the Illini down. Trent Frazier probably sending Christmas cards next year to Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. He was 7 of 11 from three-point range for 27 points last night. Not the game's leading scorer, though. That was Jordan Bohannon. 29 points in 41 minutes last night for Jordan Bohannon, who continues to be one of the offensive bright spots for this team, along with any given player on a given night. It can be Tyler Cook one night. It can be maybe Isaiah Moss or Maishi Daly. But Jordan Bohannon's been the one guy who's, for the most part, been pretty consistent win or lose this year.
And he's a marked man. I mean, the other team's scouting report is, you know, it starts with Tyler Cook and Jordan Bohannon. So I think the ability and the progress of Maishi Daly playing the point guard, something he's learning as the season goes along. He had one play last night where he penetrated the defense, drew the defense to him, and I can't remember who he dumped it off to, but somebody had a layup or a dunk off of that play. Jordan being able to play off the ball a little bit more with Daly being, you know, progressing at point guard, I think is a good development for this team.
The thing I can't get over, having watched most of the game last night, but then staring at the box score, is the disparity in the free throws.
Yeah.
Illinois only got to the line 14 times last night. Iowa got there 40 times and made 33 of them. If they don't do as good of a job getting to the line as they did last night, this game's probably not as close as it was.
I thought Iowa was aggressive early going to the basket, whether it was Tyler Cook, you know, and then in the second half with Garza and Kreener, being aggressive and going to the basket, where excuse me, Illinois fell in love. They made some three-point shots against Iowa's zone and fell in love with that, and they weren't as aggressive going to the hoop. And then LaRon Black really didn't have a good game. They were able to take him out of the game, and he draws a lot of fouls from the inside.
What'd you think, Hawkeye fans? 319-366-1600. You can give us a call or reach out on the Hertine & Stocker text line. Hertine & Stocker, 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City, celebrating 70 years in business, the sponsor for the text line. Iowa now goes on the road again, third road game in a row. It'll be Wednesday night. Rutgers in Piscataway. Steve Peichel, a former Stony Brook coach, has Rutgers playing pretty good basketball. They went toe-to-toe with Michigan State, didn't come out with the victory, but as Sherm Dillard said in hour number two when he joined Alex and me earlier tonight, it's going to be a tougher game than some people probably expect it to be. Andrew Francis has the scout, and for the Hawkeyes to go 2-3 on this road swing to me, especially given where they were about a week and a half ago, would be really impressive.
Yeah, and it is a tough game, and I believe Rutgers beat, and Wisconsin's down this year. Finally, Wisconsin's
down this year.
They because they've lost at Nebraska, but they also lost at Rutgers. And then we saw the other night Rutgers playing very well against Michigan State. So that's a confident team. And Corey Sanders is a tough matchup for Iowa. He's a guy, he's a quick point guard that penetrates really well. And Geo Baker's also a really good guard. So they're going to have their hands full. I can't imagine it'll be that tough of an environment at the rack. I still don't think Rutgers basketball is filling the seats, but, Iowa needs to build off what it did in the second half and overtime last night, and hopefully they can.
So, yeah, let me ask you this, because it was something we touched on in hour number one right out of the gate tonight. What can that win mean for Iowa at this point? Or is it too late? Because when we talked with Sherm in hour number two, we played that interview at 5 o'clock. They're sort of viewing this as the fresh start that they were looking for, that they got a win, and no matter what happens from here on out, they're focusing forward and not looking back. So what does, in the grand scheme of things, last night mean?
I think that's a good approach. I mean, they can't go back and change. And as it turns out, Ohio State's a pretty good team, and they lost to them at home. So there's no – I mean, I don't think there's any shame in that. I think they could have played better in that game. Michigan is a pretty good team. At this point, you can't think about, okay, this is what we need to do to get back you know, in the Big Ten race when you're 1-5. I think it's cliche, but you really do have to take it one game at a time at this point and focus on getting better each game. Because if it turns out to be a rebuilding year, the key part of that word is build. You want to build through the rest of the season towards next year if that's, in fact, what it ends up being, a rebuilding year. And it looks that way now. You never know what's going to happen. But work on the things that you need to do better and get better as the season goes on. And I've seen improvement in the zone defense. I think that's something that they can kind of hang their hat on, what they were able to do last night. And if they can continue to do that next year, that's something they go into the season knowing, okay, we can play zone defense. And Sherm talked about that with you guys, mixing and matching defenses. I think that's the key for Iowa. They're not particularly gifted defenders individually, but if they can work together as a team and become a good team defensive team, that's something that they need to do going forward.
Why is it, and I know Sherm kind of alluded to it a little bit, but why is it so difficult for guys to work on their defense? Is it just the fact that Sports Center doesn't show defensive highlights a whole lot? I mean, you kind of have that discussion in baseball and football too, I guess, that the defense isn't as sexy as going up for a windmill dunk, which, by the way, happy birthday. I think 50-something today to Dominique Wilkins. If you want to feel old, Dominique Wilkins is in his 50s. It's his birthday today.
Yeah, he was fun to watch. He was one of my favorites when he played. I think, Todd, and I think it's true of this team, one of the toughest things to do is if you struggle offensively, and Iowa has been susceptible to scoring droughts and having tough times on the offensive end of the floor. I think it's almost human nature sometimes to bring that back to the defensive end of the floor, and they've done that too often this year. It's really hard just from a mental standpoint, especially with a young team, when things aren't going well. And if you watch Michigan State will go through scoring droughts, but they will bust their butt on the defensive end, even when they're going through scoring droughts. That's something, I think, one of the biggest things that this Iowa team needs to do. A lot of their defensive breakdowns are after they miss a shot, they're in a scramble situation on the defensive end, and they don't cover up, and they give the other team an easy basket.
We mentioned the two upcoming games for Iowa. Rutgers, as a point of reference, 11-7 overall on the year, 1-4 in the Big Ten, so it'll be a showdown of 2 1-win teams Wednesday at the Rack. But Purdue coming to town next Saturday morning, 11 a.m. tip-off time at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Currently 5-0 in the Big Ten, tied with Ohio State for first place. 16-2 overall. They're on a 12-game winning streak. Matt Painter seems to have quite a team on his hands this year.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the game. Well, actually, most of the second half of the game the other night at Michigan, they hadn't won at Michigan in forever. And they had Mathias on the Big Ten yesterday talking about how that was one of the goals for this senior class and the upperclassmen to get a win at Michigan. Guess what one of their other goals was this year? To get a win at Iowa. Purdue has not played very well at Iowa. Iowa's had some success against Purdue, not only at Iowa, but in West Lafayette. So that's a game, I think, no matter what happens with Iowa next Wednesday at Rutgers, and Rutgers plays Ohio State this Sunday. So, and that game, I believe, that's at home. That's at the Rack as well. So, it's like I said earlier, I don't think Iowa can even think about that Purdue game. They've got to concentrate solely on Rutgers and trying to, cliche, take it one game at a time.
One game in the Big Ten tonight, Penn State and Nebraska getting ready to head to the half in Happy Valley. 32-24, Penn State on top of Nebraska. We saw the Nittany Lions a couple weeks ago, early December, I should say, at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Pat Chambers has a scrappy bunch of players on his roster this year. And Nebraska and Penn State, I think, both 12-6 coming into tonight's game, teams that you could look at and say have been pleasant surprises this year in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I would agree. I think both of those teams have taken a step forward. You wonder where things are going with Minnesota. I don't know if you watched any of the game against Northwestern the other night, but the thing with Lynch,
I was going to actually touch on that here.
Yeah, I think that's a thing that can could really submarine a team that I thought was going to be pretty good, and he shouldn't have. I think it's obvious that that's just a black eye on Minnesota again after they went through it with their football program, but also for the Big Ten when this thing, you know, with this thing going on. And it'll be interesting to see how they deal with that going forward, and then also Northwestern, who's had early struggles after having a really good year last year, if they can get themselves righted going through the rest of this Big Ten season.
Richard Pitino's done, right?
You would hope so. I would hope so, based on the evidence at this point. Maybe he's got some more evidence that we haven't heard in this case, but he looks like a guy that went out of his way to protect wins and losses.
And he also, I mean, for as much as I've used Steve Alford as a human pinata over the years, I don't think even he was ignorant enough to say, I'm just a basketball coach, when asked about the policies that are in place there in the Twin Cities. So, yeah, it's going to be hard for them, I think, to keep the team together and focused on playing basketball, especially as that situation continues to hang over them. But I'm glad you brought up the football mess there too, because I had sort of forgotten to tie those two together. But it sounds as if there's some institutional issues at Minnesota right now that I know some people have been working hard to address, but not a good look for them. I would not want to be one of their women's coaches up there right now, because it's not a good look for anybody that you're trying to get recruiting wise.
And the details of the football, when those came out, they were it's always disturbing when you have these sexual abuse things happening in athletic departments or anywhere, and it cost Tracy Clays his job. And you have to think that Pitino's right in that same boat at this point. Tracy Clays got hired again recently, I had heard.
Washington State. That's right. He's going to be the new defensive coordinator for Mike Leach.
And he kind of got, I'm not saying he was innocent, but he kind of got put in a tough situation with the Minnesota.
Yeah.
But like you said, it was an institutional thing. And it seems like that still hasn't been fixed. I wonder, and not to hop completely all around, when you think about Matt Rhule looking to get out of Baylor, you wonder if Baylor's still dealing with institutional problems down there. Because that's when that stuff gets deep-seated into a department and a university,
it metastasizes.
Yeah, it's tough to get out of that.
The other interesting college football coaching note, Nebraska fans are mad at Mike Riley. I don't know whether you saw this,
yes,
but the details of his contract came out. At Oregon State, they're only paying him about $51,000, his base salary. And
that's because Nebraska's got to make up the difference.
So Nebraska has to make up the difference, and it sounds as if there's a push to maybe get the lawyers involved there, because part of the buyout stipulation is that he finds work that pays a comparable to basically what the market rate is for. And with his experience, $51,000 is a bargain. He does get full membership in the Corvallis Country Club, though. And if Alex were here, he spent some time in Corvallis, he could tell us whether or not that was a perk worth having. But Nebraska's upset that they feel like Oregon State's kind of taking them to the cleaners.
So he's the quarterback coach?
Basically, sort of a mascot.
So if Nebraska said, hey, look what the Iowa quarterback coach is making.
Yeah, true. On that subject, let's hit football here really quick, because there wasn't a whole lot on Wednesday, but the NCAA did pass that legislation about adding a 10th coach. I know Bobby Legesse at the Land of 10 wrote that he feels Iowa should bring a running backs coach on and take a little bit off of Brian Ferentz's plate. You get the sense Kirk knows what he wants to do there, but he's just not quite ready to announce that or pull the trigger.
Yeah, you know him. As detailed as he is, I'm sure he's been thinking about this. This originally was supposed to go through a while back, and they had a plan in place for that. Now it's kind of dragged into the spring before they're able to do that. But he mentioned recruiting again the other day, too, in regards to this position. I think it's going to be somebody that handles a position, whether it's running backs. LeVar Woods is now taking care of all of special teams. So whatever this position coach is, I think recruiting is going to be a significant part of who, you know, his responsibilities in addition to if he coaches a position.
And you brought up recruiting today. I know there were a lot of Hawkeye fans that were excited about Drake Stoops. His name had been tied to the program. He's staying home to play at Oklahoma.
Yeah, not surprising. When I talked to him after he officially visited Iowa, I could kind of sense in his voice his love for Oklahoma. That's what he grew up with. He grew up around the program with his dad being the coach. He can go to Oklahoma for free because of his dad having been an employee there. So it makes a lot of sense. And I think Iowa either had heard from him or Bob or somebody and knew that this situation was going on. And that's when Nico Regani got the offer and will be, he's here already. I think he came in yesterday with Spencer Petras and Dylan Doyle's now part of this early. They've got four guys coming in. They've got Petras, Dylan Doyle, Regani, and who am I missing? Davion Nixon. So they've got four mid-year enrollees into the program.
And they're probably all going to be darlings of the message board for the next couple months as we get ready for spring football. Iowa State, by the way, announcing today that April 14th will be their spring game at Jack Trice Stadium. So maybe we can pencil in that open practice at West Des Moines Valley for the Hawkeyes on the 14th as the Hawkeyes have sort of been playing a little bit of gamesmanship with Iowa State over the last couple years. Speaking of birthdays, by the way, today, it's not just Dominique Wilkins' birthday. 71st birthday today for Paul Rushell, Rick Rushell's brother. You remember him?
Is Paul the older one?
I think Paul's older.
Yeah.
Those guys looked like more professional bowlers than baseball players. But
or guys that work in a deli.
I'll never think. Paul, I was a little too young to recall. And Rick Rushell, I caught the tail end of his career. I'll never forget the home run he gave up to Bo Jackson at the All-Star game. That was Rick Rushell on the mound.
I forgot that was pitching
for the Giants, and Bo Jackson just absolutely obliterated that baseball. We'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back, we'll get you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then we get out of here for a Friday night. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM KGYM. Back after this.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-$3 menu with favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the McChicken, the Bacon McDouble, the Happy Meal, and...
Oh, we can get away with the husband and kids?
No. But the $1-$3 menu could help you save for one.
Especially if we leave the kids at home.
With Grandma, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Find out how you can bring your work to life at Frontier Co-op. Frontier Co-op will have a career fair Wednesday, January 17th from 2 to 6 p.m. at 3021 78th Street in Norway, Iowa. Stop by and learn more about employment opportunities and the great benefits of working for Frontier Co-op, including subsidized on-site childcare. Frontier Co-op is currently hiring for multiple positions and all shifts. Learn how you can bring your work to life. Attend the Frontier Co-op Career Fair Wednesday, January 17th from 2 to 6 p.m. in Norway. View current openings at frontiercoop.com. Frontier Co-op is an equal opportunity employer.
6:55. Welcome back. We'll put the finishing touches on a Friday edition of the program, and then you'll start your weekend along with us. We can't get out of here, though. till Kyle brings us that last Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
It didn't always look like it was going to happen, but the Iowa men got their first conference victory last night in overtime on the road at Illinois, 104-97. They trailed by as many as 20 points in the first half, but came alive offensively and on the boards in the second. And that second half in overtime saw the Hawkeyes commit only 6 turnovers and, just as importantly, claim a 27-14 rebounding advantage. The Illini even hit a potentially devastating game-tying 3 at the buzzer, but Iowa went on to get the win in extra time. Luka Garza had 19-11, Tyler Cook had 21-13, and Jordan Bohannon scored a game-high 29. The win by Iowa is the first conference victory for Iowa's 3 state universities. It's one Cyclone in and one Cyclone out for the Utah Jazz. They'll reportedly be signing forward George Niang to a 2-way deal, so he'll be spending time with the Salt Lake City Stars, but that also came with the waiving of Nazmichu Long. Niang is averaging 18.6 rebounds and nearly 5 assists per game, formerly with the Warriors G League affiliate. Tonight after the show, we're going to have a pair of high school games for you. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym will have the Prairie Boys hosting Waterloo East beginning at 7:30. And at the same time, we'll also have the girls from Cedar Rapids, Washington traveling to Iowa City West on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have nonstop action for you tomorrow, including the Iowa State men hosting Baylor on 1600 at 1 o'clock, followed by the Falcons and Eagles, and then the Titans and Patriots.
Pretty interesting matchup Sunday afternoon at Carver Hawkeye Arena between Oklahoma State and Iowa. Are you going to take that in?
I am. I plan to get there. I can't wait. I'll be taking some photos.
It's always interesting to see those two programs get together. There's usually fireworks, and I'm not talking 4th of July, but Oklahoma State, Iowa. That's on the BTN, by the way, if you can't make it to Carver Hawkeye Arena, 3 o'clock the start time, and hopefully they get that thing kicked off at 1:25. We'll have it for you, reaction on Monday, and a whole lot more. Mitch Garver, Twins catcher, set to join the program as well on Monday, so a great show on tap. Hope everybody has a good weekend. Enjoy the NFL games. Remember, you can hear them right here on KGYM. High school basketball going to be getting tipped off for you on all of our frequencies coming up in about 30, 35 minutes. Enjoy your weekend. Talk to you on Monday.
So, Sarah, you know, one of the toughest things about being on tour, honestly, is sleeping in a bunk area with a bunch of guys that carry with a bunch